soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
But have I ever told you how much I love doing live radio? 22 years. I think it might even be more. Started on public radio. I then went over to some other stations in town. Went from that station, Sports Animal, and Dave brought me over here, and it's been great, and it's been great to bring soccer talk to all of you, and we appreciate it. By the way, get the podcast at Spotify, Apple, right here at ESPN975.com is where you can get it as well. The likes, the feedback, the comments, it all means a lot at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD, also Facebook Soccer Matters. And on Instagram as well. All of this stuff means a lot. It helps keep us on the air, actually. Now, I made a conscious decision that I'm not going to be a shock guy and say a bunch of things that aren't true. I'm going to say things that are honestly coming from my heart when I break a game down or make a comment about soccer. I'm not trying to be Stephen A. Smith. I'm not trying to be Alexi. I'm not trying to be anybody else except me. So, yeah, could I get more likes and hits and more attention? Sure, if I did some of that stuff. I don't want to do that, but I do want you to listen to the show and spread the word about it, okay? So that's that. All right, let's go with Federico. Let's go with your sound to start it off. How about that?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Stay for the last one. The last one is delicious.
This is beautiful. Now, this is Federico. I want you to focus on the differing opinions here and then think about the differing types of soccer fans that go to games. But this is Federico De Michelis, post-match Dynamo 1-0 victory over Portland.
So the game just ended. How'd you see the team? We finally win at home. We might have a chance at this.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I thought the goal we scored was nice. It was great, great header in the first half. Definitely felt like the second half, the play was pretty good. Had a lot of good touches. We're moving the ball around. So would have liked to have seen another goal, but definitely good to get the win at home for sure.
It was just really nice to see that the defense stepped up really good tonight. Couldn't ask for a better turnout, man. It's been heartbreaking the past few games. You saw the shots on goal. It was like 17-2.
Do you think we still have a shot at this?
They could sneak in.
Had a lot of shots. Dominated the play. Needed to take the next step to get those goals, but maybe in the last game we'll see that.
I think that we're finally trying again. I saw hustle. I saw them trying, but we still need to work on conversion.
Do you think we can sneak in the playoffs, or?
That'd be a long shot.
I have faith.
It was good to finally close out a game.
Do you think we still have a shot at the playoffs?
As a fan, you kind of hope for the best.
What do you think of the game tonight?
It's a beautiful game. It was a great game. Love that we beat Portland.
Do you think we still have a shot at the playoffs?
No, I don't think we have a shot at the playoffs.
I saw them play very well. They dominated most of the match.
Is there a player in particular that you saw today that you were like, hey, this is something different?
Number 11, he played very well at the beginning. He got a few chances that were like very good.
Yeah, he's fast.
Yeah, they could have stopped him.
I wish they could play more consistently this way because they definitely got the talent.
Well, we were very happy with the outcome. We were very nervous at the end, though.
But towards the end of the game, they need to start cleaning up the defense.
Yeah.
We can't give up those late goals.
Ben Olsen was suspended. Do you think that had anything to do with the way the team performed tonight, especially closing the game?
I will say I don't know if I noticed a difference. I would say this is the Dynamo I've known. Whether Ben's been there or not, they've always been on pins and needles at the end of games.
They lose some of their fire at the end of the game. I gotta assume there's some coaching issues there.
Finally!
Do you think we still have a shot at the playoffs?
I want to make it to the playoffs!
Well, those two guys at the end don't think we're going to make the playoffs. But there was mixed commentary. But it is really remarkable to be in tune to and listen to everybody. So I heard, who's number 11? Well, that was Lawrence Anali. So people are attracted to him. I heard, we hope for the best.
we heard the defense stepped up, but in the same sound bites, we also heard we lose fire at the end of games. And by the way, that would have been three straight games we conceded late.
Yes.
If one of those goes in.
Or more, I think.
I mean, it's happened a lot. So fans are mixed on whether they can make the playoffs or not. What jumps out to you most about the interaction with them and the differing level and types of fans that go to a
game? That's a great question. You know, I first of all, I want to thank everybody that stops, you know, right after the game.
Yeah, they were great.
That's great. They're always very, very friendly. They know you. They hear, you know, they listen to the show. So I want to thank everybody. And if you were one of those voices, call in, you know, and tell us what you think.
Yeah.
There is everything. You know, there are casual fans, a lot of casual fans that you can see that they went with the family, you know, once or twice throughout the season. They love going. They have a good time. It's a very family-oriented environment, and they enjoy it, and there's that. There are some that enjoy the game, that know a little bit more, but that don't know a lot about the Dynamo per se. Like this guy, you know, who knew about soccer. He could tell that Inali was a player that made a difference.
He picked out a good player.
But he said, you know, number 11, you know, and that's just something that to me, you know, having a talent like Inali in the team, what are we doing as a club that we don't know how to reach?
Well, they don't get star built.
There we go.
That's why I have Jack McGlynn on tonight. We're bringing people out. But you can't just be one person. I mean, you know, the press we generally get, I think locally it's more like, paid advertising.
It is. Yeah, it is 100%.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's, and I think everybody I talk to says the same thing.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening, this can be helpful.
Yeah.
Which I've always felt the show can be helpful.
Yeah.
If people are in fact listening.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that, and then there are the diehard, which know the situation. They know where we're at. They've been going to games for a very long time, and they are the ones that are a little bit more knowledgeable. And then there are also the supporting groups, and then there are also those that just go to drink, and you know, like the guy in the end, you know, who just had a little bit too much that night. And it's just fun to speak to them. You know, I enjoy it. In general, I think there's still some hope. There's still some faith because we see the potential when the team plays the way that they played yesterday, you know, this weekend, Saturday. The problem is that again, it's not consistent, and that something happens at the end of every match where the team just gets completely disorganized, and you feel that anything can happen. There is no control over the last, you know, 10, 15 minutes of the match, and that kills you.
Yeah, and I think it's been Ben Olsen has been frustrated with that as well.
Yeah.
But we have seen a real change here now, because normally this is a very methodical build. It's slow, and it can't be slow when Inali's on the field. Right. Now, I want to take you to the fact that Juan Guerra was the head coach. By the way, he won a championship in the USL. 100% he wants to be a Major League Soccer coach one year. I'm going to put words in his mouth, because 100% he wants.
Oh, you can see.
You can tell.
Yeah.
He wants to be an MLS coach. So I saw some things different in this game. And I do know that sometimes when there is a different coach on the sideline, some things can change on the field, whether you like it or not, whether the coach has translated everything together. So I'm going to go to one, and this could have been decided upon by Ben Olsen and everybody together, but Inali stayed higher a lot, which I think leads to more entertaining soccer, leads to posing questions for an opponent. He stayed higher. I also think that Portland allowed him to do that because they did drop off quite a bit. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. But again, it has to be a decision that the Dynamo make, because it pushes their defense back inevitably. You know, they have to be worried about having someone so fast free, you know, so you have to drop. Inevitably, you have to drop. For me, something that definitely changed when I think about, you know, having Guerra on the sideline, and I don't know if this was a decision that they made together or not, but I wrote here in my notes, minute two could be Urso's best game so far in the Houston Dynamo. And I think I was right.
Well, one, Artur wasn't on the field, so his responsibility changed, and he played the position a little bit differently.
That's the thing. And I spoke with him after the match, and he said, you know, look, this is the first time that I'm able to play my position. You know, I'm more of an offensive midfielder. I'm a number eight, for those that remember numbers in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Not a number six, and that, you know, I've been asked by the staff, you know, to play a little bit more as a holding midfielder, but that is not me. That's not where I've played my over 600 MLS games.
We didn't have to because Portland was dropping back.
That's
and Reigns is now matured enough that he can handle it. So because of them dropping back, I think that enabled him even a little bit more.
Yeah, and you could see that every time he would receive the ball, he was already looking forward instead of trying to you know, regain possession, look back, you know, find a pass to our you know, left or right back, you know, and so on and so forth that we see constantly from Artur. And I'm not going against Artur. He's a, you know, I think he's a very important player for the Dynamo.
Absolutely,
but there is a different style of attack, a different style of playing, a different way of understanding the game when your midfielders receive the ball already with you know, with a different orientation. And I think that made a big, big difference for the Houston Dynamo.
Yeah, and he also won the ball in the press a lot. Yes. Because he was already up there. I mean, I'm just saying this from my perspective. When you have two deeper holding midfielders, that means you have one less player higher up the field. Now, sometimes coaches don't think a deeper lying guy on his own can handle that position, right? But to have an additional target up in front of the ball, to me, is a good thing. And of course, again, Portland dropped deep, so it allowed some things. But I do think the fact that now Anali has been a starter for four straight games, because there was that time period, remember, Coach Ben Olsen said, look, he's best off the bench. He's got to prove it to us. Well, I think he is now, and I think the fact that he's giving him that run is making the Dynamo a more dangerous team, and he's not spending 60% of the time back defending in front of Andrade, right?
Yeah. Listen, if the Dynamo was a different team, I have to say, I don't know if I would be 100% sold on Inali and the way that he makes decisions, at least. But in this situation, in this Houston Dynamo, he is.
But I'm going to defend him. He doesn't always make the right decisions, but he's also the one who takes a lot of the risk.
That's the thing. That's why I say in this context.
You need dribblers. How about 100. The time he dribbled through the entire team almost? I mean, it was absolute chaos for Portland. I put that video up on X, by the way, if you want to see it. But there are guys stumbling all over the place. They're running out of different positions. You have to have this. You just can't recirculate the ball in front of 9, 10 guys. It just. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult. I just like the fact that the Dynamo have more of a transition game. I would have liked to have seen them manage the game out better. What do you think went wrong?
Yeah.
Because they stayed in a it was end to end. It was great for the fan.
Listen, I can't remember what minute this was when we made the first sub off the game and Bassi came in. Bassi is just not that kind of player, you know.
I'm going to defend him a little bit, and here's I just want people to remember, he has not played much in the last four games. Yeah. 15 minutes in four games.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you expect a professional to come on and start connecting passes right away. I think it was probably, if I'm thinking about why he was brought on, it was to help maintain possession and see the game out, right?
Yeah, but it's not working. And also, it hasn't worked. You know, he came in the 67th minute. The other thing, you know, that I just don't agree with the decision making, and this might be on Guerra, this might be on someone else, but the other two changes, and you were there too, we talked about it. What happened with the subs when they came in so late? Because there was something going on there, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes before they actually came in. Something was happening with the fourth ref. I don't know what the situation
was up, ready to go in, then went back to the bench. I didn't know if the Dynamo had changed their mind at that point, but it was a little... Yeah, it was interesting. Now, also with some people missing, the depth is different.
But you brought in Lowe, the guy from Jamaica. Why didn't he come in at some point, you know, to try to defend the situation? You felt them coming. We all felt them coming. At some point, they were like, it was about to happen. This time it hit the post. In other games, you know, it happened that the ball went in.
Yeah, and the Dynamo were rolling. You know, they were playing a little Russian roulette at the end of this because they were trying to get the second goal. They were getting a lot of options in transition. That's exactly what Portland wanted at that time.
Right.
And honestly, this could end it either way. I mean,
and unnecessarily, because they didn't bring anything. I mean, when they played, you know, Rojas and they made some changes, things changed for them slightly. But it was 100%
the
Dynamo. They
hit two posts and a crossbar in a really short amount of time.
Very short amount of time.
And I'm up there, and I'm like, my heart's starting to jump out of my chest here. Please, please, please.
Yeah.
So It's interesting. I think I really do like the youth of Anali. Yeah. I like the penetration of Anali and the taking people on. Dorsey's driving forward. This helps Dorsey. This helps McGlynn. I think you're seeing some great combination play between those two guys. You also have Anali who can now come inside and make a differing run, not just hang out wide all the time. But if the ball's on the opposite side of the field, he can do more.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, how do you connect that with the – well, you know, it's what Dino has been doing. You know, they really bring their left and right back up. You know, we see that all the time with Dorsey on the right side. On the left side, not so much. With Andrade, he does attack, but he doesn't attack that deep. I don't know. I think I of course we all like this new version of the Houston Dynamo better than what we've seen, you know.
Well, it's better entertainment too. Yeah. I mean, playoffs withstanding, it's far more interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the interest can be gained simply by a singular player.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of inverted wingers. I want penetrators. I don't think it's easy to be a right-footed player and be coming in on your right a lot and trying to be a penetrator. Anali seems to be able to do this because he can go to his left as well.
Yeah.
But look, interesting times. And, you know, I will say this. You got to remember this. There are guys playing for jobs. Okay? Andrade just got, and we're going to ask Pat Onstad about this, but there's a lot of people playing for jobs and contracts. Moroccan Magician is one of them. They're in their final years of contracts. They're in their option years. So you're going to see some turnover. How much? Don't know. But these games are important not only for playoffs, but for individuals.
For the future. For the future of the team.
By the way, I'll take full credit for bringing this song by Sweet Fox on the Run to the attention of the Dynamo, which is played at every home game. Sorry. I'm going to shamelessly promote because they got it from this show.
There you go.
And you know what? I'm honored. I'm flattered. Anything else, Federico, before we let you go?
No, man. The other question is, you know, is it going to be better or worse for the Dynamo to make it to the playoffs? That's something to talk
about.
Time
will tell. Nashville's going to be a different beast on the road, and that's what the Dynamo have up next. I've got Sean, can I quickly give a pair of tickets away in the phone number? All right, right now, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number three, a pair of tickets to the Dynamo final home game against San Diego. 713-780-3776. President of Soccer Operations, Pat Onstad, next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. As always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Personal injury attorneys, John and his firm will work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. It is DaspitLaw.com. You can also call them at 713-CALL-NOW. And also a shout out to the newest sponsors down on Bins in the museum area. Slip sliders, a whole bunch of different sliders. And I'm telling you, they are amazing. Chicken, beef, they got a shrimp patty down there that's killer. It is Slip Sliders. We welcome them to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We also welcome Pat Onstad, the president of Soccer Operations. Pat, thanks for coming on again.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, let's just talk about the big win, the 1-0 victory over Portland. This was a big one. It came at the right time.
Yeah, we needed it. I mean, we'd had two disappointing results, I think, you know, giving up late goals in Colorado and obviously at home against LA Galaxy, it probably cost us 3 points. So, you know, we're hanging in there. We're not in a position we want to be in, but we'll fight right till the end, which is nice to see. And I thought it was, well, it was only a 1-0 win against Portland. It was probably one of our better performances this year. I thought the last 15 minutes where maybe we lost a little control, but I thought for 75 minutes we had pretty good control of the game and really needed to put a second one away to kind of cap that evening off a little bit more comfortably than we did.
11 corner kicks in this game. I mean, that says something about you guys getting to the end line.
Yeah, it was better. We're still work in progress. You know, Lawrence and Ollie's certainly the one guy that's getting there. You know, Griffin's been able to get there a little bit. But again, that takes time. I thought Ponce actually the last couple of games has helped us stretch the back line, and he's been looking behind. You know, the coaching staff have been emphasizing that for a long time now, but seems to be clicking a little. And I agree with you. When you're getting a lot of corner kicks, you know you're having some success and putting other teams under pressure. But, a good, really good first half. First 15 minutes actually is probably our best start to a game this year, where we just I thought we dominated in the first 15 minutes and unfortunately couldn't get on the scoreboard. But it was nice to see the guys respond. They knew it was an important game, and they responded well.
Does that remain one of the questions during those great periods? Because you guys came out of the blocks on fire about taking your rewards. You know, you're creating chances. You're all over Portland. Is that kind of still one of the things that needs to be on the line?
Yeah, we're not a high scoring team. We for whatever reason, I think we're creating enough to score a few more goals. You know, the data would tell us that a little bit, but not astronomically off from what we were expected to score. But, I think that's something certainly that we keep pushing for and keep working on the training pitch with the guys we have now. I think in the off season, that's the different responsibility and try to bring in some other pieces that can help, you know, bolster our attack. But, last three games, we've got to solve that within our group, and we'll keep pushing. And if we can perform like we did against Portland in Nashville this coming up week, we'll have an opportunity to try to get some points out of that game. And obviously we need all the points we can get.
Pat Onstad joining us, president of soccer operations. Pat, does the game model change a little bit simply because Lawrence and Ollie's on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see it. We're certainly more vertical in the way we attack. We can, what we haven't been able to do a lot this year is to be able to transition offensively. I think with the players we've had on the field, Kowalczyk and Bossy were, for the beginning of the season, were kind of, Kowalczyk a lot was often the winger. He's not a vertical winger. He's a guy that likes to come underneath and collect the ball and connect passes. And I think now you see with Anoli that we're able to get out on the attack much faster. And I think that really helps us. You know, I think it all started really for Anoli in his first game back in San Diego. And there's a corner kick. We're defending a corner kick and just a long clearance in behind, and he runs 75 yards. But that's the speed that you miss, and that, you know, any team in the world will tell you that if you have guys that have top end speed, it causes nightmares for the other team.
Yeah, it's interesting because in a lot of ways it's a redesigned team simply because of one player, which might mean danger to other opponents in MLS.
Yeah, I mean, we still, you know, our game model is to try to have two guys be vertical on each wing. Again, Griffin Dorsey's a right back, so when he has to get up there, it takes time for him to get in position to run behind. But that's what I'm kind of talking about, is Anoli can get behind so quickly because he's already starting higher up the pitch than a Griffin Dorsey. You know, I think there's an argument for us. Do we shift our game model a little bit and try to see if he can get two vertical wingers on the field? Clearly, we don't have that in our arsenal right now in our locker room, but is that something we look for in the offseason? That's a bigger and deeper question. But we're a much better team when Lawrence is on the field from an offensive standpoint. And you see Ponce reaping the rewards as well, getting on the end of some, you know, granted it's a set piece, but he's now starting to get on the end on some crosses from Lawrence. And we're just a little more dangerous when he's on the field.
44th minute, Ezequiel Ponce, great header. That would be the difference in the game. Lawrence Anoli, fourth straight start, I believe, for him. So that's good from his standpoint. All right, you kind of led me into the next question, which is, as the president of soccer operations, yes, you're micro looking at what's going on, trying to get in the playoffs, but you got a lot of other things going on. I mean, you got players in the end of their contract years. You got guys on loan you got to figure out. Yep. How much time is being spent on that? I mean, you know, Bossy, Pablo Ortiz, you got a lot of decisions to make.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussions behind the scenes here with Ben and Asher and myself and, you know, our performance staff with Paul Caffrey and our medical staff, just to make sure that we make the right decision. I'm a big believer that you get as much information as you can before you make the decision. But for us, we still got a few more games to try to see and get more information on these guys. But, for the most part, you know, we're now targeting, you know, what we're going to do in the offseason. There's some positions I think that are pretty clear that we need to kind of upgrade, or not even upgrade, just improve in that space. And we'll keep fighting for it. But, the one thing we do know is the guys that are in the locker room right now are fighting hard to try to make the playoffs. And again, you go back to the Portland game, and even in Colorado, it's disappointing because it's a game we should get out of there with certainly a point. You know, we look back and we kind of analyze the games, and that's a game actually normally we would win, play that 10 times. We win that 6-7 times, you know. So that's where we're a little frustrated that we're performing well, but we're not necessarily reaping the benefits of our performances over the last three games.
At what lines of the team are you looking to add to? And I know some of these decisions.
Probably each line, to be honest, to be fair, probably a body in each line, you know, probably one in the back, one in midfield, and one in the attack. I think that would really help our team. Last year, we talked about this a lot going into the offseason. We were right up against it in the cap. We had very little GAM, very little cap space. You know, obviously, one of the reasons we had to sell, you know, our better players, and Coco Karaskia and Mikel. That's opened up a lot of cap space and a lot of maneuverability for us in this off season, which, you know, we'll have to go and take advantage of, and help Ben and give him, a good squad to move forward with and for 26. But again, I don't want to get too far ahead of it because we're still in it. We're still fighting for it. And thanks to that result, also, we're going to need some help, and we got a little help. You know, San Jose dropping points at home, was big for us, and we'll keep fighting, and hopefully we can figure out a way here to get into the playoffs. And if we do, that means we're on a pretty good roll, and I'd fancy our chances to make some noise in the playoffs.
Yep, can happen. I know it's common knowledge, and everybody's probably thinking the same way around the league. But, you know, even with only a handful of games left for you, as someone who's assessing players that could either stay or go, these last couple games, would they be important to certain players?
They're important. I think they're important for everybody. I mean, important for I always look at it and I go a little bit back to when I played. I mean, to me, they were always important, whether you're in the playoffs, not in the playoffs, is that you're showcasing your own talent as well. So for and it's not just us looking at our group. Our group's important, but we're also looking at all the other games around the league. There's going to be players where teams will have to make decisions on in the next few weeks. And we want to see how are they finishing a season. Are they a piece that would help us move forward? And vice versa here. I think there's some guys here that they'll have an opportunity, whether it's here or somewhere else, but they get an opportunity to showcase what they can do for other teams too. So you're always focused on what you're trying to do as the team, but as a pro player, you're also, you know, you have a lot of pride and you want to be successful and you want people to want you. So you want to make sure that you play well and set yourself up for the next year.
Pat Onstad joining us, the president of soccer operations, Houston Dynamo. Next up for the Dynamo Nashville on the weekend. That's a game you'll be able to catch on Apple TV. How much turnover do you expect in the off season? Not to get too far ahead here.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, like as you mentioned, a lot of these contracts will, you know, there's a few guys that have expiring contracts. Some options we'll have to make decisions on, and that will depend on quite a few factors. And then one of the bigger discussions that I feel is important, and for a lot of these guys, is do you want to be here? Like, do you want to be part of this project? Do you feel like, you know, some players want to move on, some don't. And we haven't had any of those discussions. So I have no idea. You know, I think as this project has gone along now, this being the fourth year that I've been here, is in the first year before even we had a full season, there are a lot of players who were like, you know what, I don't really want to be here. And I was like, okay, let's move forward from that. And I think as we progress, more players are, you know, they really enjoy their time here. They enjoy the fans. They enjoy the city. They enjoy the project. But we'll see. This has not been the year that we'd hoped. So that always changes some people's mindsets. And we'll find out more about them, you know, I think in the next you know, month or two, and hopefully we have a lot of guys here that are excited about the project.
Yeah, and professional sports, I mean, it's kind of strange because I'm thinking, you know, Pablo Ortiz is out there. His loan hasn't been renewed yet. He's playing next to a guy, Felipe Andrades, who has, and this is professional sports. Yeah, talk about the Andrade, you know, exercising the option on
his loan. And I can talk about Pablo as well. It's kind of both. But Andrade, we had a little bit of cap space this year that we needed to use. Otherwise, it just kind of goes, it gets unused. And he had an option that was from Fluminense that we could trigger. We were supposed to trigger in January, but we wanted to trigger it now to take advantage of that cap space. And he's a player that we've really liked. He's come on and done really well for us. Young player, you know, dynamic, stay at home kind of defender. So he's been good for us, and we wanted to exercise that. And we're happy to have him. Now that's the second player now that we've kind of gone through Brazil, Mikel being the other, and that's gone through our second team and then made the jump into our first team. So we're pretty excited about that pathway more than anything. And then Pablo's a little different. His price tag is we have a loan and then we have an option to purchase him at the end of the year. And the price tag's pretty high. It's pretty steep. So I think we're all still kind of waiting to see how the season goes and you know, see if he can put his best foot forward. And I thought he had a very good game against Portland the other day for us. When he plays beside Antonio Carlos or Eric Shevchenko, an experienced center back, I think that's when you see him shine. When he's playing against someone inexperienced and he's not able, they're not able to kind of joystick him and help him out. He can sometimes run, be his own worst enemy is probably the best way to put it, but really good kid. And he's learned a lot here. And I think, you know, our staff has done a good job getting the most out of him.
Speaking of Dynamo 2, are there two sort of local Houston kids that you might peg as ones that could really make a push for the first team?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would think Sebastian Rodriguez is the one kind of knocking at the door now. He's kind of in his third full season, maybe two and a half, or you know, with the second team, and you know, he's made some progress. Whether he makes a jump to our first team or you know, maybe we find another step forward for him, but I do think he needs to go perform at another level from MLS Next Pro. So we'll see how that goes. And the rest of the group are still probably a year or two away from kind of breaking through. There's some young talent there, and we'll see how that plays out. But we like where the spot is. We've talked about this a little bit. You know, there's a few young kids that are 16 years old that are getting close, but we're still probably another year to 2 years away from guys that you're like, okay, that guy's going to be, he's going to get significant minutes. But Sebastian's probably the one piece, I think. You know, Di Marilli's had a good year for us. So there's been a few guys. Miles Gardner's a young kid, is just kind of breaking in now a little bit later in the season, but you know, Daniel Barrett's played a lot of minutes. So we've had a few young guys that are, this is good. This is what we want. It's a good problem to have.
Brooklyn Reigns is off to the under-20 World Cup in Chile. Yeah. He's going to be in the shop window. That's a big deal. Just take us into, because it's been really fun to watch him blossom and grow, and now we're starting to see him hit a few more vertical balls as opposed to just maintaining possession. You see these little subtleties grow, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. But take me into sort of when you guys made the decision that said, hey, we got to go all in on Brooklyn, and that means we got to give him games. And we got to let them make mistakes.
Yeah. And you know, I think you have seen them grow a lot this season. I think, you know, at times it's there have been some painful lessons for us. But we like where he's at. And, you know, it's the irony is we'd really like to have him playing for us for these next couple of games. But he's down at the World Cup in Chile, which actually I'll be hopping on a flight on Sunday to go down there and kind of watch him play and watch a few games. So we're excited for him. I think it's a great opportunity, but we've raised his value, his profile, and I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. You know, he's 20 years old. He's an infant really at this stage in especially in that position, in a central midfield position. It's one thing to be 20 years old and be a winger or a, you know, a second striker or something, but in that position, it's a difficult place in the field. And I think he's developed a lot. It helps having Artur, I think, with him, has kind of calmed him down at times. But the funny thing is he's, it seems like the bigger the game, the more he's kind of stepped up and been brave and to be able to get on the ball and move it. And that's been really good for him.
That is, he has a good tournament in Chile and all of a sudden he's got suitors from Europe or South America. Is he for sale?
Yeah, I think all our players are for sale, as probably every team. You know, I think the joke I have is that Real Madrid, PSG, and the Seattle Sounders are the only three teams that don't sell players. So, yes. I mean, that was the reason we played him as well, is to see if we could get some European interest. Or now in league is nice, too, that we can move players within league, which I think is a great step by our league to be able to do these cash trades. So I'm not sure. We'll see what happens, but it's certainly we're starting to plan for that could happen. Whereas I think we talked about this earlier with the Mikel one, where we kind of thought, oh, good, the European window's closed. So we just certainly don't want it. We're not going to get caught with this one. If something does happen for Brooklyn, we'll be prepared to make sure that we've got somebody lined up there to take his place.
Fantastic, fantastic update. Safe travels to Chile. We'll see you when you get back. Thank you so much for coming on as usual.
Thanks for having me on, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Pat Onstad, President of Soccer Operations. A lot of good stuff in there for you, the Dynamo fans, especially with Brooklyn Reigns going off to play in the Under-20 World Cup. Now, there's destination watching as well. You can watch him perform down in South America. All right, coming up next, we'll bring on Jack McGlynn. We'll keep this block of Dynamo talk going here. Quick word here, though, for Cactus Music. I have my Black Sabbath T-shirt on today. I just want to tell Quinn down there because I got one of the official ones my buddies brought back. But Cactus Music, vinyl, CDs, everything you need down there, that's where you go. LamontBrands.com for the best in T-shirts and hats. You can get the Soccer Matters hats there. But if you need printing needs, you're a youth soccer club, you need T-shirts, LamontBrands.com. All right. Stick with us. We're coming back. Jack McGlynn.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, we saved the best for last here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. Joining us now, he is the one and only midfielder for the Houston Dynamo. As you've seen him with the U.S. men's national team, he is Jack McGlynn. Jack, thanks for coming on the show as usual.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me again.
Well, let's take you back to the last game and just the more open nature of this game. Does that happen because of urgency? Does that happen because of the time of year? Is that contrived by the staff? How did that all work?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of all three. I think obviously you know where we are on the table, the time of the year, how many games we have left, and we kind of have to push now. We have to win. We can't settle for ties, especially being at home. I think we have to be the ones on the front foot, and I think you saw that, especially in the first half. We kind of came out flying at them, and I'm lucky not to get a goal early, but we got one in the end. But I think that's kind of how we have to take these games. We have to go after teams. We have to be the ones creating chances, and we're going to do that this last three games.
Was this a more enjoyable game to you? Because it seemed like it was a lot more open. You got a lot of chances in this game, even off your right foot a lot. Did it seem more enjoyable if we just take out the urgency of the situation?
Yeah, for sure. I think number one reason why is we won, so that's definitely why it's more enjoyable. But I try to enjoy every time I play. I always like to have fun. I just always think back to kind of being a kid and like I'm playing professional now. You have to enjoy the moment. So I kind of take that in every game, but especially in games like that where I'm on the ball, I'm creating things, I'm getting chances. Hopefully one of them will go in on my right soon. But yeah, I think it's definitely more enjoyable in a game like that.
Yeah, you had a lot of involvement in this one. You had a lot of great chances. You had the assist on the lone goal to Ezequiel Ponce as well. You know, was this – I mean, you got a lot of space at the top of the box. I was a little surprised how, you know, Portland maybe, when they recovered, got a little bit deep on top of their goalkeeper. I mean, you were just coming into great spaces a bit late. Maybe take us into that a little bit.
Yeah, I think with who we had in the field, obviously knowing Lawrence, he's going to beat his guy most times than not. And I think I'm kind of always working off their other midfielder. When he checks his shoulder to see where I am, I'm always trying to make a different movement to get open. I think I did that pretty well last game, finding good spots rather than I was combining, either finding Griffin in behind or having a shot on my right. And yeah, I think it worked well. I think I'm always just trying to make counter movements off where they think I'll be, and that'll give me space.
He's Jack McGlynn, Houston Dynamo midfielder, also U.S. men's national team, joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. What type of an effect has Lawrence had personally on your game? Because now he's gotten four straight starts in a row. This team just seems to ooze a little bit more danger now.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I'm a guy that I like to pass first, and I think having a guy that can stretch the game like that, it kind of opens up, whether it's space for me or Ponte or someone, it just opens up space, whether we can stretch a team, make them face their own goal, play behind them or play through them, now that we have that threat. I think that kind of helps all of us, especially being in the middle. And yeah, I found him a good amount of times, whether in behind or to his feet, where he's able to beat someone or dribbling, create something dangerous. So it definitely brings a different aspect to us, and it's been dangerous these last couple of games.
Do you think, I mean, I hear a lot of people talk about this a lot, but you got to find somebody to play with within the game and in your team. Not that you're not playing with the other guys on your team, but you got to find a bit of a partner. Is Lawrence that guy maybe?
Yeah, I'd say I definitely have a couple. I think obviously a partnership with Griffin on the right side, I think last game was really strong. I think whether I'm overlapping him or he's getting in behind me and I can kind of find him in behind the fullback where he can have a first time cross, I think that's been working. I think I have a good connection with Ponte. It's been getting better throughout the year. We're kind of, we don't really have to speak a lot, but kind of just looking at each other, you know what each other will do. So it's building those partnerships. And I think obviously it's my first year here, and we'll see what happens next year with that. But I think through the year, it's grown a lot with a lot of different guys.
So I have a lot of conversations. Some people say to me, they go, wow, Jack McGlynn, he doesn't look like he's like, they don't understand your composure and your demeanor on the field. And I think they mistake it for like, you know, that you're a little bit relaxed, which I know you're not. And I see it as a defense mechanism in some ways for you as an attacking player. So maybe settle the score with those.
Yeah, I think people can say all they want. I know what I can do. I know that I'm a good creator in this league. I think I know the quality I have and what I can bring to a team. And I think I've been showing that, especially in the recent games. But yeah, people can say I'm slow or whatever. It doesn't really affect me. I know, and my teammates know what I can do.
Well, for the record, they all like you as a player. But, you know, I said, hey, just because he's not screaming and yelling and his face is red doesn't mean he's not effective.
Yeah.
So, don't worry. I went to bat for you there. Don't worry.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
And I said, if you had a left foot like that, you can behave any way you want, you know, as long as the results are there. Talking to Jack McGlynn, Houston Dynamo. By the way, new sponsor, it is Slip Sliders. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Nashville and the type of game that they bring and sort of the boost also that you guys have gotten from a confidence standpoint getting this win over Portland.
Yeah, getting the win was definitely huge. I think it's been a long time coming, especially being at home in front of our fans where we've just been bad. I think that's not who we are and who we want to be in front of our fans. It hasn't been good enough. But to get that and going into a tough road game now where I think we've been pretty solid on the road, but we have to start with a good mentality. I think we've had that the last couple of road games and just be hard to play against. And then we have quality that can get us chances and goals on the road.
So Nashville, they certainly are a team that can break in transition. You just played one in Portland. You seem to do pretty well against them. Thoughts on playing these transition-based teams? I think we throw LAFC in there with Sun now.
Yeah, for sure. They're tough to play against because I think we're a team that wants the ball, and knowing that they could hurt you when you lose that ball, it's dangerous. But I think last game especially, we covered for it pretty well. I think we gave up a couple of chances at the end of the game. But other than that, I think our center backs kind of dealt with it really well. We didn't lose the ball in bad spots, really. But it's just kind of being clean, being confident, and knowing the quality we have in our locker room to play through teams like that.
Is it tough? I would think it's tough playing with a 1-0 lead and slimmer margins, you know. I mean, I look at that game and I go, that's a game you guys could have 2-3 goals. It would have been more comfortable at the end. That seems to be an equation that you guys have not been able to solve yet.
Yeah, it's obviously tougher playing 1-0 up, but I think you got to think it's better than being down 1-0 or tying a game. It's definitely better to be in the lead. You obviously want that. But yeah, I think definitely last game especially could have finished them off earlier. I think could have had 2 or 3 goals, whether it was myself or setting someone up. I think, yeah, we definitely had a lot of good chances. But I think as we get more clinical, it'll keep helping us.
All right, for the young players out there, how much do you work on going to your right?
A lot, yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, because I don't use it as much, they don't know that it's there. But I think I work on it probably every day after training, just getting a couple reps on it and knowing that it's there. And I'm comfortable enough to take shots with it, especially because teams are focused on me going left.
No, I think one is destined to go in here very soon. Jack, we talk about weight training. And I know I'm getting this interview with you after you did a weight session. And I know you're monitored by your staff and everything, but is there ever a concern that, you know, your muscles get too tight and shorter? And because I know you guys do a lot of weight sessions and you do have to be strong and powerful in the game, but to be flexible and technical is also important.
Yeah, for sure. I think here it's a good balance. I think I specifically have like a plan with the trainers here that I do work with that, what I need, whether it's speed work, agility work. So it's all kind of individualized to how you're feeling. And if you come in one day saying you're sore, you're going to do a little less in the gym, but maybe you get more touches. So it's a good balance, especially myself. I do a lot on my own at home, whether it's going to the gym at night or if I didn't get enough touches in training, I'll go get touches after. It's just always doing more because I'm still a young guy. You know, I can't really complain about being sore too much. But, yeah, just I'm always trying to do more.
Yeah, the veterans are going to give you a hard time, right? If you complain too much since they've been through it,
exactly.
They'll jump on that one in a New York minute, I'm pretty sure. So off the field, and again, this one is for those aspiring out there. Off the field, give us a bit of your routine, rest, all the things, because I know a lot of effort has to go into being disciplined off the field.
Yeah, for sure. I think off the field, I'm just a really relaxed guy. I mean, I come home from training, and like I said before, if I don't feel like I did enough, I'm always going to go do more, whether it's going to like a local field or something, just kind of get touches and just feel sharp like I did enough on the day. And at night, I usually will go into the gym, whether it's doing mobility, stretching, or whatever I didn't really do in the gym that day, I'll do it at night. But that's kind of my routine. It's very disciplined. I stick to it every day, and I try not to break it a lot.
How much soccer do you watch, and what are your preferred leagues? Like, do you like watching some of your national team teammates? Tell us.
Yeah. I watch whenever there's a game on, I have it on, no matter really what the league. Obviously, I probably watch mostly the Prem. I'm a big Liverpool fan, so that's kind of for me. But, yeah, with the national team guys, I always try to keep up on what they're doing. Those are some of my best friends, so whenever you get a chance to watch them, you definitely want to do that.
So you might watch Chris Richards with Crystal Palace, or you might watch Christian Pulisic tearing apart Udinese the other day in 62 minutes?
Yeah. They're both performing at such a high level, and especially being off the field, they're such great guys to look up to. So to kind of watch them and see how they carry on in each game in such difficult leagues is inspiring.
By the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Griffin Dorsey and that relationship and what he brings to you. It must be comforting to know you have him alongside you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think knowing he's always behind me, covering for me, and that kind of gives me freedom to try stuff. And like last game where I try a flip pass to Lawrence, like knowing that I have cover behind me, if that doesn't come off, like it's kind of given me a lot of confidence to do things and create things for us. And knowing he's going to be up and down the wing, flying by, whether I play him through or he's just kind of dragging a defender out for me, the work he does is so selfless, and he's just a great guy to have.
Yeah, he's done extremely well, Griffin Dorsey. All right, so let's go back to that. Is that the play you mean where Lawrence came central and made the run and you kind of scooped it in behind the defense, the real delicate ball?
Yeah.
So take us through that one because that was some five-star entertainment. I like that.
Yeah, no, I know Lawrence, when he cuts in, he's either looking to shoot or I know he'll find me at the top of the box like he did in Austin. So I found a good spot there, and I saw that they're all looking at me expecting a shot because that's kind of what I'm good at. And then I saw that he was still on sides because the right back was a bit deeper, and I flipped it, and he's quick enough to get on the end of that, and I'm lucky that it didn't go in. It was just wide.
And that might have been up for goal of the week. That was a great sequence, and it was also pretty amazing because he was very aware, you know, of where the line was for them, and he actually stopped himself for a split second, and then, you know, you played that beautiful ball in behind. That would have been a spectacular goal. All right, switch gears here to the national team. How about the importance of the win over Japan?
It's huge. I think, to get a win finally, I think it was a tough game for us against Korea. I think it was a decent performance, but the result obviously isn't what we want in front of our fans. But I think whenever you get to win a game for your country, it means more. I think you're playing for more than just yourself. So to get a win over a really good side like that was huge for us.
Yeah, so how much of that noise do you hear from the fans? I mean, it somehow has to trickle through with social media and everything, but how much of that noise do you hear?
Yeah, you hear some of it, but, I mean, when you're in the camp, you're just focused on what's going on there. You're not looking at outside. You're just focused on performing there, doing everything you can to help the team, whether it's in training or coming off the bench, starting a game. You just always want to help, and I think it was a really good performance from the whole team against Japan.
Yeah, it was. It was excellent against Japan. The boot is really, really good. Do you speak with Mauricio Pochettino when you're away from the national team? In other words, during your MLS season?
Not really. I think it's more like, you know, what's expected of you. You kind of leave camp with an idea of where you're at, and what's expected is to kind of be the best at your club. And that'll eventually, if you're performing, hopefully get you a call up. That's kind of, it's an expectation. There's no real need to be in constant talk. You know what you have to do to get to that level.
Yeah, you came off the bench in that game and produced very well and nearly scored a goal for the U.S. That was a spectacular little stretch of play you had. You know, as opposed to the Dynamo where you're starting and you're a focal point of the team for 90 minutes, is that a little different, getting yourself into a game and a good challenge?
It's definitely different, but it's something I've kind of taken on. I think that was my role in the summer in the Gold Cup. So I just try to come on, work my socks off, whether it's defensively, if we're up a goal or we're chasing a goal, just trying to create things. I think I was unlucky that goal didn't went in, but I was happy with the way those games went.
Now, you do know, and I've said this to you before in a lot of our interviews, and I'm getting very comfortable interviewing you. You do know that you're one of the rare American players that are actually, quote unquote, a traditional or maybe semi non-traditional playmaker in the league. You do realize that, right?
Yeah. I think it's rare, but I'm happy to be one of them.
Yeah, and I would say congratulations to the Dynamo in respecting your talents and placing you in a position with that sort of confidence.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think the trust they've had on me ever since they bought me, I think, has been amazing, whether I was playing deeper or now higher up where I'm kind of more of a creator. I think that the trust they have in me to play me every game and rely on me to create has been great.
All right. I'm sure it's twofold right now. It's get into the playoffs with the Dynamo, but I have to think that almost every day you think about the World Cup.
Yeah, it's hard not to, you know, especially it being in our home country and coming up so soon. It's hard not to, and that's definitely a huge goal for me.
Jack, what would it mean to go to the World Cup?
Everything. I mean, it's every kid's dream to play in a World Cup, and to even say I have a chance of being there, it makes me feel amazing. It just makes me want to work harder because I'm going to do everything I can to help my team here or help the team there if I get the chance. It's just it'll be such an honor, and I'm going to do everything I can to be on that roster.
Well, you're a gem of a player. There's one thing you know about Jack McGlynn. You bleed 100% football, soccer. There's no question about that. And you're talented. Keep up all the great work. Thank you very much for closing out our show tonight here in big style.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Jack McGlynn. By the way, he came out to Senate Avenue Brewing for us, and we had a great night out there with him, and the fans got to meet him. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Big shout out to the Daspit Law Firm, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, 713. Call now. Sean Mapes stepping in tonight for Brian McDonald. That does it. Till tomorrow night, Destination 2026 at 6 Central Time. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everyone.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.